to our hearts. The Old Testament servant songs, as they're known, are about the promised Messiah, the Saviour, Jesus. It's not always perfectly clear that that's the case, and sometimes you have to dig a little deeper into the passage to get the meaning for our lives today and where we're at even this particular day. This passage presents two pictures that are central to the whole Bible. It presents a picture, first of all, of humanity itself, you and me, and all the stuff in our lives that makes up what humanity actually is. I like to think of human beings as being like a ruined castle. And if you travel around Scotland and you go to see some of the castles up and down the country here, some of which no longer are operable as such, but still you do two things. You see two things. You see a sight of a broken ruin, but you also catch a glimpse of the glory that this place once had. And in looking into my own life and in looking into the lives of other people, I see broken ruins so often. And humanity suffers and struggles its way through the passing centuries. And we all are part of that struggle regularly on a regular basis. But I also see a glimpse of a glory that has been and a glory that can yet be again. Because God is in the business of restoration and renewal and hope. And the other picture that's presented here in this passage and also throughout the Bible is the picture of God as the rescuer, the restorer, the renewer of the former glory that was part and parcel of who we have been and what we can be. And he continues to speak in those pictures of life to us today. You may wonder why on earth the passage started with something about divorce and something about sale. Well, these are, again, pictures. They're pictures that, in a given situation in the culture of the day in which the book was written, the final irretrievable fact about a divorce was when the certificate was given. You are separated completely from your spouse. But it was only at that point that the divorce became real. And there are legal ways in which that happens today. And we know that there's a point where that happens. When the breakdown of relationships happen, there's a specific legal point at which it all comes to an end, sadly. The other picture was a picture of a culture that may not be part of our culture, but it can be part of culture in other parts of the world today. And it's the picture of people building up debts. And the only way they can repay their debt is to give their children into some form of work or slavery. And I've seen that happening in Thailand, for example, where children are given for money and they're taken away supposedly for work, but very often for sexual purposes. And it's that kind of thing. And you get a receipt for your money. And that's the final act. And the child no longer yours and goes away. And that's the two pictures that are being drawn here. And in a sense, what God is saying and what the Bible is saying is, he says, your life, your darkness, your difficulties, your sinfulness, your brokenness is not, I emphasize, is not irretrievable. Not like the certificate of divorce, not like the receipt for the money for your child. It's not finished. It's not done with. As long as I am God, it's not done with. There is still yet hope. And that's one of the beautiful pictures here and one of the prominent sayings of this particular passage where God says, look, I can turn around creation. I can reverse what I've done. I've got that power. And if you'd only listen to me, if you'd only come to me, I can do it in your life. I can change things. Because I'm the God of creation. I'm the God of power and authority. I am the living God. And then the tone changes. I don't know about your Bibles or the readings here, but the tone, and there's a gap between where it says, I can turn out all the lights in the sky and pull down the curtain. Then he goes on to say, the Master God has given me. It's as if somebody else is speaking. And who is that someone else? That someone else is Jesus, the servant of God. The servant songs, we call them. And it's about Jesus. And it's about Jesus who is very unlike us. He's different. He's totally distinctive from us. He came amongst us as a human being, but he is God's special servant. He's God's anointed Messiah. And we get a different picture. He says, you haven't been listening to me. You haven't called to me. You haven't come to me. But then the servant steps in and says, but I have listened to you. And I have called to you. And I have obeyed you. And I've obeyed you even to the point where I came to this earth. And I received the insults. I've been spat upon. They pulled out my beard. They beat me. They took me to a cross and they crucified me. And I've done it all for you. Jesus, in the simplicity of becoming a human being and yet the complexity of it all, has become the one who stands in for us on the cross, bears our sins, takes all our darkness, and brings us light and hope, forgiveness and peace. That's the story of this passage. But then the last part speaks to us. Who's out there that fears God, actually listens to the voice of his servant? For anyone out there who doesn't know where you're going, anyone groping in the dark, here's what: trust in God, lean on your God. But there's also another aspect to it, as we read in the passage that you have before you there, towards the end of it. All you who light fires and provide yourselves with flaming torches, go walk in the light of your own fires and of the torches you've set ablaze. You have two choices always with God and his grace and Jesus. You've always a choice of simply believing in Jesus, leaning on him and resting in his love. And letting the fire of his love fill your whole being and change and transform it. Or you have the choice of lighting your own fires, going your own way, doing your own thing, and taking all the darker consequences. God is able to change your life and mine. He's made it possible through the death and resurrection and ascension of Jesus. And Jesus comes again and says, believe in me and you will have eternal life. You will have grace to live and you will have hope to die. May God bless you as you consider this passage. Take it home with you, read it again, and see what God may be saying to you within it. Let's bow together in prayer.